speak your word. I pray your Holy Spirit will open our hearts, our eyes, our spirits to receive, Lord. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we all know, every first of the month, we're honored to have a guest speaker. One of our elders usually give the messages for us, which gives Ben a break. And whenever Julio's turn comes up, Ben, I guess the last time he asked me, so this past week he also asked me, so it's Julio preaching. And I said, so? He's like, are you gonna give the message? So the first thing that, you know, normally you have the reaction of, let me pray about it. But before it came out of my, you know, as soon as it came out of my mouth, let me ask the Lord. The Lord immediately spoke to me. He said, what is there to ask? You know, the honor of speaking the word, to preach the word, we should be ready in season, out of season. That should not even be a question, whether you have a calling to preach or not. Whatever opportunity you have to speak the word, you should grab it. So the next thing is, I had to ask the Lord, what do you want me to say? So Ben kind of gave me the topic, and he said, you know, you always say one word, and, you know, I already knew what it was, so I went to the Lord and I just asked him to give me the message. So let's get started. The title of today's message is, What Did You Say? So we know that word is very important to God. In fact, he used words to create. If we look in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1:3, when God said, let there be light, immediately there was light. Whatever God said, it happened. So all he did was say it. On verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water, and it was so. Next, on verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 11, it says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so, and on and on and on. So whatever God said happened. So if we know that our words have power, will you be more careful in how you say things? The first point is, words have the power of life and death. You know, we heard this so many times, but are we really aware of how important our words are? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's stomach shall be filled or be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Can you imagine, whatever you say actually will fill you? So whatever comes out of your mouth is actually going to be the fruit that will produce in your life. Proverbs 18:7 said, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So if you want to know where your life is headed, listen to what the words that are coming out of your mouth. So if you know you're headed towards life or headed towards death, just listen to yourself. Maybe get a recording of what comes out of your mouth day after day. Your words are powerful. So more so, the words that you speak over your life, your situation, your children, you know, your family, just imagine the power that it has, the impact. Listen to what you say throughout the day. You might be sometimes joking, you know, when you say, oh, that scared me to death. Do you really mean what you just said? Or they would sometimes say, oh, they nearly died laughing, you know? Just imagine, you think it's no big deal, but those words are powerful. Those words are really very damaging. Words can be either your salvation or your damnation. If you are speaking life and death over your circumstance, every time you open your mouth, that's what you're going to get, life or death, because that's what the Word of God says. So are you speaking words of failure over your future, or are you agreeing with hopelessness? You cannot talk defeat and expect victory. So you realize your words have creative power. Someone said, do not use words to describe your situation, but you use words to change your situation. So how many of you are guilty of saying things like this? I can never afford a house like that. Or you can say, oh, every time you take a cold shower, you catch a cold. Or you can say, oh, you're getting older, your metabolism is slowing down. Or you can say, oh, can never get ahead, your debt is always catching up on you. Or you can say, you can never lose weight no matter what you do. Or when you eat a cupcake and you say, oh, this is 10 pounds extra that's going to come up on your, you know, on your hip, wherever. Or you can even say your kids are driving you crazy. So you might take things lightly, but just imagine if literally those words will happen the way you said it. Matthew 12, 34 to 37 says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Just imagine, God says whatever is inside of you is going to come out of your mouth. There's nothing good that will come out if your heart is evil. And if your heart is good, no evil will come out of your mouth. Another word that struck me here is the word, every idle word. Because God says every idle word that you may speak, you will have to give account of it in the day of judgment. By your words, you will be justified or condemned. What is the meaning of idle? It says without purpose or effect, pointless, frivolous, vain, petty, shallow, insignificant, worthless words. How many of these words come out of our mouth just within the last hour? So God says we are to give account of every idle word that we speak. I want to share, there was an experiment performed by Dr. Mararu Emoto. He used water that he covered cooked rice. So he had three different labels or three different containers. And the first container, he put the same amount of rice, the same type of rice. He labeled the first one, thank you. The second one, he said, you're an idiot. And the third one, he did not label it. He just left it unlabeled. So for one solid month, imagine every day, he would speak to the containers depending on their labels. So the one that has a thank you label, he would speak pleasant words. He would speak affirming words and positive words. The one that has you're an idiot, he would yell harsh, demeaning words, curses on it. And the last one, he just ignored it. So after 30 days of consistent treatment, do you know what the results are? The container that had the thank you label, it started to ferment. It looked appealing, and it gave a strong, pleasant aroma. The one that has a label that says, you're an idiot, it turned mostly black and mushy, and it gave a sour milk aroma. And the one that was neglected, it began to rot and mold and turn into a disgusting greenish-blue color. So even the rice react to your positive or negative words. The next point we want to point out, if you have nothing good to say, then better not to say anything. I always say zip the mouth. if you are going to speak negative, even if you're thinking negative thoughts, don't let it out of your mouth. Just zip your mouth. Proverbs 21:23, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Imagine just by zipping your mouth, you keep yourself away from troubles. Proverbs 17:28, it says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. So those who've known me long enough, if you had been around me, there's one word that I always say, or I would not hesitate to say, it's the word rebuke. What is the word rebuke? I learned that a long time ago because I used to be very careless with my words. And then someone taught me that if we speak negative words, we have the power to turn it and repent of it. Because when you speak negative words, it's almost putting a curse. So when you rebuke someone, you correct them. So the word rebuke is translated from the word mukar. It literally means correction, chastisement, or reprove. So don't be offended when someone say, oh, I rebuke your words. You know, that means you correct it. It's a reminder that replace it with a better or a positive word. My father used to say, less talk, less mistake, or no talk, no mistake. Every one of us are familiar with the word Miranda rights, right? It's the Miranda warning or Miranda rights, wherein it's a right to silence. It's a warning given by the police in the United States to criminal suspects in police custody or in custodial interrogation before they are interrogated to preserve the admissibility of their statements against them in criminal proceedings. So what does the Miranda right comprise of? It's the officer, when someone's getting arrested or they are taken away, they said, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. Do you understand the rights I have just read to you? With these in mind, do you wish to speak to me? Imagine if every time you're ready to open your mouth, this is read to you. How would that change the way you speak? Luke 1:18-20. We are told by Luke that an angel appeared to Zacharias. This is the father of John the Baptist. Zacharias said to the angel, after the angel told him of all the good things that's going to happen to him and the baby, that they were blessed with the baby after being barren, he said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Imagine, the angel has all these, the same angel who's in the presence of God showed up to him, and he's still arguing with the angel, telling him all his, why he cannot. So the angel had to zip his mouth. Are you responding with the same negativity because of your situations in life, because of your age, because of your financial situation, because of your standing in society? Or are you questioning the dreams in your heart because you don't have the qualification, you don't have the skills? When we look at this story, the angel Gabriel had to literally zip Zechariah's mouth, because if he doesn't, he will forfeit the whole plan of God for his life just by his words. So how long was he not able to speak? Until the baby was born, the whole 9 months. So that's how important our words are over our future. It can affect our future. Next point is, mean what you say and say what you mean. Are you a man or woman of your word? Are you a person of integrity? When you say something, it's as if it is done, no questions about it, or would people always question you? I don't know if, you know, that's what he meant by what he said. It could be that he will change his mind. You know, do you have a reputation of being a man true to your word, or are you being wishy-washy? One day you say something and one day you flip-flop. Last week, early this week actually, Ben had to take mom to her doctor's appointment. So there was a person at the door. And when I opened it, it's a guy that we have met years before. He's a guy who chopped down our trees. We have large trees in the back of our, you know, of the house. So he came in, he said, "Oh, I saw that your trees are overgrown. I would like to chop it." I said, "We don't have plans to do it. And I'm in the middle of, you know, we have an appointment. I had to take Benson to school. So I had like few minutes left." He said, "No, I can do it." He said, "Can I just take a look?" So I said, "Okay, give me a price." He went in the back. We had like maybe five trees that don't have, you know, it doesn't have fruit. So it's just overgrown and we have to keep chopping it. So he gave me a good price. I knew it's a good price. So I said, "You're going to finish it today. You're going to charge this price and you're going to haul everything away." He said, "Yes." So immediately I paid him because I know it's a deal. Right when I left, that was like within 15 minutes, he's gone. I couldn't see his truck there. So I called him. He said, "Oh, my chainsaw broke. So I got to go buy another blade and I'll come right back." I said, "Make sure you finish by today because Ben's coming back home." He said, "Yes, I will." Anyway, the whole scenario changed right after Ben came. He wanted more money. He complained there's too much rubbish and he has to pay to haul it. But anyway, it's very, very frustrating dealing with people like this, you know. But how many times are we guilty of the same thing? We say something and we end up changing our mind, or we justify, you know, not doing what we said because there's an excuse. Always find an excuse. Anyway, Psalm 15, 1 to 5. The psalmist wrote, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at usury, or does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." So if you promise to do something, no matter how difficult, you might lose money doing it. It might affect, you know, the sacrifice that will be done on your part. Do it, even if it hurts. Because God says, if you do these things, you will never be moved. Let's look at Joshua. When Joshua, after Moses died, Joshua was commissioned by God to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So before he did that, he sent two spies to spy out Jericho. When these two spies went, they entered and stayed at the home of Rahab, the prostitute. When Rahab was there, the king somehow learned that there were spies in her home, so he sent people to go and inquire, and hopefully they can catch these two spies. Just listen, when Rahab, she decided to save their lives. So she hid them. And when the guys came, she denied that they were there and led them on their, you know, another chase and told the guys, "Stay for 3 days, hide, and then you can go." So after that, this is what Rahab told them. Joshua 2, 12 to 21, it says, "Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver us our lives from death." So the man answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days, until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the man said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you made us swear. Doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Unless, when we come in the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, so it shall be that whatever goes outside, sorry, I missed that one. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. So what do we see here? They made a verbal agreement. She said, promise me that you will save me and my household, my family. And the two spies said, we will, but you have to follow these conditions. You should not reveal where we are and not say anything. And you have to bring your family in our home, tie a scarlet cord, make sure no one is out. But if you don't do any of these, then we are not bound by our oath. Just imagine if these people turn back from their words and they said, oh, we didn't really mean that, you know? You're an enemy. This is the line where Jesus' bloodline came from Rahab. We won't have our, the birth of the Messiah through this bloodline. Next one is, say what God says. Don't just stop saying negative things. It's not just zipping your mouth and not saying anything. We have to start declaring the positive things. It's one thing to stop saying negative, but we have to start replacing the negative words with positive declarations over your future, over your lives. You know, if you look at the experiment, the rice that was ignored, you would think no one's bothering it. It doesn't have any curse or blessing, but it's still rot and it's still decayed. So it's not enough not to say anything. We have to be proactive with our words. We have to start speaking life. I'd love to read the whole Proverbs 8. It's a little long, but it won't fit in your notes. But I just want to say, I'll read it quickly. Proverbs 8 says, the excellence of wisdom. It says, does not wisdom cry out? Imagine, God is speaking. Understanding lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors, to you, O man, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles. All the judges of the earth I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Just imagine wisdom. The Holy Spirit is telling us to seek after Him, to seek after His words. Just imagine declaring the words of God in your life. Psalm 35, 27, it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Isaiah 46, 9 to 10, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done." The power of God's word. Joshua 1, 6 to 8. When God commanded Joshua to go to the promised land, what did he tell him? He said, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You know the phrase, "from your mouth and meditate therein day and night"? It actually refers to the custom of the Hebrew people. They mutter while they're studying or reflecting. Are you guilty of that? When you study, you actually speak to yourself. You actually speak out loud. If not, I would encourage you, start speaking out loud when you're having your quiet time, when you're reading your Bible. Don't just read it silently in your mind. Speak it out loud, because God wants us to speak it with our mouth. He says the word meditate, from the Hebrew word, actually, it's called hagah. It literally means to mutter. So you have to speak it. When one continually mutters God's word, one is constantly thinking about it. So as you say it, think about it. That's how you meditate. You know, in the Eastern religion, they have this thing about meditation, and their meditation is emptying your mind. Clear your mind. Just be in a zone where you think of nothing. God's word is different. He wants you to speak His word and to think about it constantly. It says, "Meditation is the practical study of the Torah for the purpose of observing it in thought and action, which would be followed by blessings." Just imagine, once it's in your thought, it reflects on your action. And what happens after that? The blessings of God comes. So I just want to ask you, what do you choose? Imagine in the beginning, the first verse says, "Life and death are in the power of your tongue." What do you choose? Do you choose life or death? Do you want blessing or cursing? Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you." Imagine God, in the Bible, God always says, anything is established by two or more witnesses. God called heaven and earth as our witness. He said, "I have set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing." He gave you the right answer. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So I just want to encourage everyone, be more mindful with the words coming out of your mouth. It is not a joke. God never jokes around. Not nowhere in the Bible do you hear God say something and take it back and say, I was only joking. So, Benson, are you ready? I want to show you a clip of what I just explained earlier about the experiment. And hopefully it will just help us understand better the power of our words. Thank you.
Dr. Emoto has conducted another interesting experiment. He placed rice into three glass beakers and covered it with water. And then every day for a month, he said, thank you to one beaker. You're an idiot to the second. And the third one, he completely ignored. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment, giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. And the rice that was ignored began to rot. Dr. Emoto thinks that this experiment provides an important lesson, especially with regard to how we treat children. We should take care of them, give them attention, and converse with them. Indifference does the greatest harm.
Tell some dreamy story, but almost.
Wow. Unreal, yeah? So what are you going to do with the words that come out of your mouth? Because sometimes I hear, you know, when I talk to people, they say, Pastor, I don't see how my life going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And I said, you should talk to my wife, and she's going to rebuke you, you know. And because, you know, that's the thing, right? Because all of us, we do that. I do that. And I hear John Lee say, rebuke that, Ben. Rebuke that. And I go, okay, I rebuke, you know. And but the fact of the matter is, yeah, sometimes we are too careless with our words. And from the scriptures that John Lee shared with us today, it should really make us be more careful of every single word that comes out of your mouth. Because we got to speak life, not death upon ourselves. Because we can. Death upon ourselves, death upon our loved ones. And sometimes we may not even know it. So, you know, from the scriptures that we learned today, apply it. And realize as you speak forth blessings upon yourself, you're going to see blessings. And no matter what your situation is in life, you know, the fact is God's hand never leaves you. God's hand always is secure upon your life. But you got to make sure you speak life upon yourself. And God, he will do his part. He's going to bring awesome life to your life. Amen. And that's something God, he guarantees. And, you know, I just like to share one more thing. I remember years ago, you know, John Lee and I, we were living in Kalihi, and we had bought all these potted plants, you know, to plant in the front of our yard. And what happened was, there was one, somehow we left it on the side, and we didn't know. But so the others started to thrive, okay? But then we go, hey, what is that plant over there? You know, it's like a stick sticking out of the dirt. And we're looking at it going, hey, I think we forgot that one. And then we kind of looked at it and go, oh, you know, we're going to throw it away, you know. But you know what John Lee did? She asked one of her friends who is a horticulturist, right? That's the word to use, right, for describing someone who's a, you are too, right, brother? You're a horticulturist. Nilton, yeah. So anyway, we kind of asked him, say, hey, can a plant like this still come back to life? You know, we just wanted to know. Say, what's a stick in the dirt? It ain't going to happen, right? There's no way this thing can come back to life, you know. And so John and I, we heard about this pastor talking about this message about how you're to speak life upon yourself, upon your loved ones, and God will bring it. Guess what? We did that. And we actually had a picture of it, but we couldn't find it. But what happened was, you know, we took a picture of this stick sticking out of the dirt, literally a stick sticking out of the dirt. And we just spoke praises of the Lord upon this plant. We say, thank you, Lord, for this plant. Father, we pray that you will bless this plant and that you will let life come upon this plant. We did this every single day. And we watered it. And, you know, people think we're crazy. We're watering a stick. I'm not going to exaggerate this at all. I got to tell you, we started seeing little leaves coming out of the stick. And, you know, we kept on doing it and doing it. And Newton, right? This is impossible, right? And so what happened was it came bushy. It came really, like, alive. And we planted it back into the ground. And I have to tell you, I believe it started to thrive once again. But here's the thing. We realize, you know, you listen to something like this. Oh, is that for real or what? I'm going to tell you, yeah, it is real. And I've seen how people, they may be in the most desperate situations in life, when they speak life, man, we speak the blessings of heaven upon ourselves, upon our family. God just comes. His hand just gets stronger and stronger and stronger upon your life and upon another person's life. This is reality. This is what God does. It's when we speak forth the life of Jesus upon ourselves and upon others. Amen. And if you believe this, you don't believe me, just go for it. Just make it a point from this day forward, you're going to speak life to yourself and to your family. Amen. And you're going to come back to me and John and go, oh, wow, awesome what God does when I speak life. Because that's what he does. Amen. And I just want to let you know, we know next week is what? What holiday? Easter. And you know, what better way to just tell everyone that the life of Jesus is in you. You know, if you've never been baptized before, you know, this is a time to do it. And I have a sign-up sheet here. You can sign up your name here. And we do this every year during Easter time because we know that's what Easter is about. It's about life. That Jesus, he came back from the dead and he rose to life. And that's why we like to do it on Easter Day, because it represents the life of Jesus in you, that truly you have died to your sins, you have died to yourself as you are immersed in the water. Yeah, it represents you're dead. Dead to your sins, dead to yourself. But when you come out of the water, what does that represent? Life. The life of Jesus that is upon you. So if you've never been baptized before, please sign up. And we're going to be doing it with the other brothers and sisters at the park. And we're going to be doing it after the sermon is preached on the 4 o'clock service, okay? So if you want to be baptized, please sign up here. And, you know, some people have asked me, say, Pastor, if I already been baptized, you know, do I need to be baptized again? Well, if you did have a Christian baptism, you know, it's not necessary, but a lot of people, you know, sometimes they want to show it as a sign of rededicating their life to Jesus. Hey, by all means, you can do that too, all right? Because, hey, I'm sure God would be pleased to know that you want to show people that truly you are dead to yourself and you are alive in Christ. Amen? So why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message that you have spoken through my wife, Jonalee. And I thank you, Lord, knowing that your very words bring forth life upon us. And as I know, Lord, all the scriptures that she had covered, we know as we apply it upon our lives, as we make it a point that we're not going to be careless with our words anymore. I know, Father, you're going to show yourself so strong in our lives. Your power will be displayed in our lives as we choose to speak the very words of God upon ourselves and upon our families. And you may be saying right now, Pastor Ben, I realize as Jonalee had shared the scriptures, I realize that I have been careless with my words, and sometimes I speak forth the very words that cause destruction upon myself and my family. But from this day forward, I'm going to speak the life of Jesus upon myself and my loved ones. And I'm so excited to see what you will do, Lord, as I will no longer speak negativity. I will no longer speak curses. I will speak the blessings of heaven to be showered upon myself and all of my family. And Father, I give it all to you. I pray that you will just take my tongue and help me to speak forth the very words you want me to speak. Because, Father, I know, even the Bible says, no man can control the tongue. But, Father, you can help us. As you take over our hearts, we know what comes out of our mouths will only be blessings, will only be the very things that will bring forth life in our very own lives. And, Father, we just ask you just to have your way and just take a hold of our minds and our hearts so that we will speak forth words of life. And if this is you, you're saying, that's me, from this day forward, I will speak life. I will speak the life of Jesus upon myself. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I am going to speak life. Hallelujah. Anyone else? I will speak life upon myself and my family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, for all the brothers and sisters that have raised their hand, Father, you know what's in their hearts. And I pray that you will assist us all, Lord, to from this day forward, speak life so that you can bring forth your goodness and bring forth more of your blessings as we, in total faith, believe in you and trust in you that you only want to bring forth your very goodness upon every one of us here. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talk about the fact that I can have a relationship with God, with his son Jesus. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? You can start off by praying this simple prayer. And if you've never done this, you know, it's simply expressing to God that you desire him, that you want to repent of your sinful ways, and you want to turn your heart entirely towards him. If this is in your heart right now to say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We are not to say, okay, I'll wait another time, another day. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if your heart is ready, just say, yes, Lord, I choose you. Because we don't know when we're going to take our last breath on this planet Earth. Only God knows. But if you make a decision for him today, you are guaranteed that you know that God will allow you to enter into his kingdom's glory as you choose to live a life that is true to him. And if this is your heart, you're saying, yes, Lord, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me right now. I know he's touching my heart. I want to receive you. I want to make you Lord and Master over my life. And if this is the cry of your heart right now, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm saying yes to Jesus with all of my heart. Praise God. Anyone else saying yes to Jesus with all of your heart? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. And won't you repeat this prayer after me? Repeat these very words and mean it from your heart. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil will know Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. Father God, I thank you for you have written my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. I give you all the praises. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand.